before we begin into the extra bits, I will be quick. I just wanted to bring a really short message this morning. You know, right in the beginning of the Bible, right in the first chapter of the Bible in Genesis, we read that God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. We are all, no matter what our gender, we are made in the image of God. And it means that each person has unique qualities, which means that we can relate to God. It means that we can be like him in our character and in our nature. And it means that we can express and be a witness to God through our lives. Now, God created, as we know, back in the beginning of time, he created a specific people group so that they would know him specifically and that they would make God known. And then because of Jesus and through Jesus, we too have been able to know what it means to know God and to live with him, experiencing and reflecting the character and nature of God in and through our lives, as we are being formed and transformed into the character and nature of Jesus. Now, the Bible shares of the lives of many men and women who live in such a way that they display the goodness and kindness and the wisdom and strength and the boldness and patience of God, as well as through whom God uses to see his purposes and plans fulfilled. I thought today we might, because we're celebrating mothers and women, look at a woman who does just this. And in doing so, hopefully, we will all be encouraged and hopefully inspired and reminded again that God is able to use any of us if we are willing. Now, this morning we're going to be taking a look at Esther, a woman who risked her life to save the people of God, a woman of faith and prayer, who had persistence, courage, and a deep sense of justice. Now, whatever we might know of Esther, her background was that she was an orphan, as both her parents had died. And she was brought up by an older cousin, a man called Mordecai. Now, Mordecai was a God-honoring Jew who raised Esther in the ways of God. Esther happened to be beautiful and had a lovely figure. Now, that is never any way that I would choose to describe someone, but I only put it in there because it's actually in the Bible. And it mattered in the days of Esther, and specifically for her part in the greater story. It was something, but it was not everything. Now, maybe Esther knew that she was pretty. Most likely people had told her all her life, but I wonder if Esther ever thought, I am more than just a pretty face. Yet, it was because of her beauty and her body, however, that she finds herself being taken to the great King Xerxes' palace because he was on the lookout for a new queen. He'd had a queen, Queen Vashti, and she too had been a beautiful woman. However, she had been deposed. She'd lost her crown because she had been disobedient to the king. Now, the king, King Xerxes, wasn't looking for an intelligent, articulate helpmeet or someone who would come alongside him and support him in the work of the kingdom. Far from it. He was wealthy, and he had the best of everything and the best of everyone to support him in the work of the kingdom. No, he was merely looking for a beautiful woman to be by his side. And ultimately, in Esther, he found just that. There was more to her beauty, but he just didn't know it yet. Now, the king didn't really know much about Esther, specifically that she was a Jew. And Esther had been advised not to tell him by Mordecai, and we see that perhaps this was the hand of God. For there came a time when one of King Xerxes' officials, a guy called Haman, was upset with Mordecai. Remember, Mordecai was Esther's cousin. You see, Mordecai would not bow down to pay him honor. because Haman had been given a position to him by the king, which meant that people were to bow down to him when they came into his presence. But no, Mordecai was not going to bow the knee to anyone, especially not someone who wore a pagan idol on his chest. See, Mordecai was loyal and faithful to God alone. Now, this angers Haman, so much so that he begins to look for a way to kill Mordecai, because that's what they did in those days. And then when he found out that Mordecai was a Jew, well, he wanted to kill them as well. So Haman gets the ear of the king, and he persuades him that a certain group of people shouldn't be tolerated because they're different. They keep to their culture and to their laws, and they don't obey the king's laws. And really, they should be destroyed. And the king, without so much as a thought, said, "Sure, go ahead." Now, those certain people were the Jews, of whom Esther was one. And as she realized the extent of the plan against her people, Esther knew that she was likely the only one who could do something about it. But to go before the king to beg for mercy and plead with him for her people, it could risk her life. See, no one could come into the king's presence unbidden. And if you did, there was a very high chance that they would be killed different times. And even though Esther was queen and she was beautiful, and she knew, though, that she could not rely on her efforts alone. She knew that she needed divine intervention. She needed God's help. And so Esther decided to fast and pray for 3 days. And she asked all the other Jews in Susa to join her. And together they sought God's favor for her and their people. It was Mordecai, her cousin, who voiced the words, "Yet who knows whether you have come into the kingdom? Who knows whether you have come to be queen for such a time as this?" Now, if Esther had any reason to question why her life had turned out the way it had, and why and how it was that she found herself queen, it seemed that she'd now found her God-given purpose. And with great courage, she declared, and going before the king unbidden, "If I perish, I perish." For the sake of her people, she was willing to die. But the good news is, the king receives her and she lives. And what she does is she invites the king and Haman to a banquet. And it's at this banquet that Esther reveals Haman's evil plot against her people. Now, the king, realizing that Esther is a Jew and the impact of what it is that Haman has put into place, is furious at what Haman has done, and Haman ends up being punished. Esther persisted, though, in advocating for her people. Not just that Haman would be punished, but it was that her courage and her boldness results in the king reversing the decree that that would have destroyed the Jews, and it ended up actually being their enemies that were defeated that day instead. Even though Esther was queen, with beauty and wealth and power at her fingertips, it appears that she remained humble throughout her journey. She took the advice given to her by her cousin Mordecai. She sought God for his wisdom rather than using her own. She knew she could not do this by herself and encouraged others to seek God alongside her. She knew the power of prayer and fasting. And because of her persistence for justice, her people, the people of God, were not destroyed. Humility, faithfulness in prayer, a woman seeking justice with persistence and courage, such godly and honorable characteristics. Many of the families we read of in the Bible have their own complexities and sadnesses. Mine does. Yours does too, I imagine. Esther's certainly did. Often our lives take twists and turns that we never thought or imagined they would or should. Esther's life certainly did. And there may be times in our lives when we think, I am so much more than my looks, my past, my family, or my work. I can imagine Esther did. Thank goodness that while people may look at our outward appearance, God looks at our hearts. Yet Esther's one constant, it seemed, throughout her life was her faith and trust in God. In all the situations that she finds herself in, she believed in God's faithfulness to his promises and to his people. Of much greater worth than her beauty was her willingness to surrender her life, to avail herself to God, to be a vessel for his purposes at such a time that she found herself in. Of much greater worth than our beauty or handsomeness, intelligence, strength, or whatever else we might possess, is when we take our everyday, ordinary life, our sleeping, eating, going to work and school, our walking around and playing sport life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing all that God does for us is the best thing that we can do for him and the best thing that we can do for ourselves and for others. For who knows when or how or why we may find ourselves in situations where we can say, there is a reason and purpose that I find myself here. It is for such a time as this. Amen. Amen.